부르니 잘 그렇구나.
자야 Yeah.
Krishna, Krishna.
Oh, So before we speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, my spiritual master taught me some prayers which he instructed me I should recite every day before speaking on Bhagavatam. So please be a little patient. If you know some of these verses, you can recite with me.
Narayanam namaskrityam nadamcharadabhutamam devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam mudirayat
Vedi Ramayane Shaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Chamadye Chahadi Sarvatra Giyate Mukam Korode Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Paramananda, he Madhava, Padunga Luchi Makaranda, Se Makaranda Panakori, Anande Bolo Hari Hari, Haringa Name Vanda Vela, Parikori Be Chakadola. Se chaka dolanka paraye manamo rahu nirantare manamo nirantare rahu ha krishna boli jiva jao ha krishna boli jao jiva mote udara radha dava Dharma Projita Kaita Vauta Padamo Nimatsanam Sitam Vedyam Bastava Matta Vastu Shiva Dham Tapa Trimulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Kute Kimba Parayishvara Sadyo Hridya Varudyate Jukati Vishu Shushu Distakshanat Nigamukho Pataro Galitam Falam Shukamukada Mitra Devasam Yutam Pipata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mohura Horasika Bhuvi Bhavuka Anato Pasamam Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Adhoksa Jay Lokasya janato vidvams chakre sadvata sammitam Yasyam bhai shriyamanayam krishne paramapuruse Bhakti rudpadyate pumsa shoka moha vayapaha Srimad bhagavatam paramamamalam yad vaishnavanam priyam Yasmin paramaham samekamamalam gyanam param giyate Tattva jnana vairagya bhakti sahitam naiskamya bhaviskritam Such chimban supatenda chayana paro bhakya vumuchin nadaha Artoyam brahma sutranam Gayatri vasharupo so vidarta prari brumitaha Sarva vediti hasanam Saram saram samudritam Sarva vedanta saram hi Srimad bhagavatam ishyate Tadrasam rita triptasyam Nanyatra sadvachi kuchit Krishna bhakti rasa svarup Shri Bhagavata Tate Veda Shashoite Paramamahatva Chari Veda Upanishade Jata Kichu Hoya Tara Arta Lena Vyasa Kurila Samshaya Jai Sutre Jai Vishaya Vachana Bhagavate Sehiro Sloka Nibandana ishvar lagi sutra koilo vyasa mayavari vashya sunile hoyasarvanasa jaho bhagavata pada vaishnavira astane ekanda shayakara Chaitanya Charane Bhagavata Jena Mane Sejavana Sama Tarasasta Ache Chane Jane Prabhuja Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Chapter 29, text 17. Mahatam Bahumanena.
Mahatam Bahumanena.
Mahatam Bahumanena.
Mahatam Bahumanena.
Dinanam Anukampaya.
Dinanam Anukampaya.
Dinanam Anukampaya.
Dinanam Anukampaya.
Maitra Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Maitra Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Maitra Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Maitra Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Mahatam Bahumanena
Mahatam Bahumanena
Dinanam Anukampaya
Dinanam Anukampaya
Maitriya Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Maitriya Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Mahatam Bahumanena
Mahatam Bahumanena
Dinanam Anukampaya
Dinanam Anukampaya
Maitriya Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Maitriya Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Mahatam Bahumanena
Mahatam Bahumanena
Dinanam Anukampaya
Dinanam Anukampaya
Maitreya Chaiva Tulyeshu
Maitreya Chaiva Tulyeshu
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Any ladies?
Mahatma Bahumanena
Mahatam Bahumanena Dinanam Anukampaya
Maitriya Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Maitriya Chaivatma Tulyeshu
Yamena Nayamena Cha
Yamena Niyamena Cha
Mahatam
Yanam Marukampaya.
Maitreya
Chaivatma Tulyeshu.
Yamena
Niyamena Cha.
Mahatam.
Mahatam.
To the great souls.
To the great souls.
Bahumanena.
Bahumanena.
With great respect.
With great respect.
Dinanam.
Dinanam.
To the poor.
To the poor.
Anukampaya.
Anukampaya.
With compassion.
With compassion.
Maitreya.
Maitreya.
With friendship.
With friendship.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Atmatu Yeshu.
Atmatu Yeshu.
To persons who are equal.
To persons who are equal.
Yamena.
Yamena.
With control of the senses.
With control of the senses.
Niyamena.
Niyamena.
With regulation.
With regulation.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Translation. The pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. Please repeat. The pure devotee,
the pure devotee
should execute devotional service,
should execute devotional service
by giving the greatest respect,
by giving the greatest respect
to the spiritual master,
the spiritual master
and the acharyas.
And the acharyas.
He should be compassionate to the poor.
He should be compassionate to the poor
and make friendship.
And make friendship
with persons who are his equals.
With persons who are his equals.
But all his activities,
all his activities
should be executed under regulation.
Should be executed under regulation.
And with control of the senses.
And with control of the senses.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri. In Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, it's clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance in the path of spiritual knowledge by accepting the acharya, acharyopasanam. One should worship an acharya, a spiritual master, who knows things as they are. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession from Krishna. The predecessors of the spiritual master are his spiritual master, his grand spiritual master, his great grand spiritual master, and so on, who form the disciplic succession of acharyas. It is recommended herewith that all the acharyas be given the highest respect. It is stated, Guru Su Naramati. Guru Su means, quote, under the acharyas, end of quote. And Naramati means, quote, thinking like the common man, like a common man, end of quote. To think of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, as belonging to a particular caste or community, to think of the acharyas as ordinary men, or to think of the deity in the temple as being made of stone, wood, or metal, is condemned. Niyamena. One should offer the greatest respect to the acharyas according to the standard regulations. A devotee should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty-stricken materially. According to devotional vision, a man is poor if he's not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very rich materially, but if he's not in Krishna consciousness, he's considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami used to live beneath trees every night. Superficially, it appeared that they were poverty-stricken. But from their writings, we can understand that in spiritual life, they were the richest personalities. A devotee shows compassion to those poor souls who are wanting a spiritual knowledge by enlightening them in order to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. That is one of the duties of a devotee. He should also make friendship with persons who are on an equal level with himself, or who have the same understanding that he does. For a devotee, there's no point in making friendships with ordinary persons. He should make friendship with other devotees, so that by discussing amongst themselves, they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishtagosti. In Bhagavad Gita, there's a reference to Bodhayanta Parasparam, quote, discussing among themselves, end of quote. Generally, pure devotees utilize their valuable time in chanting and in discussing various activities of Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya among themselves. There are innumerable books, such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads, which contain countless subjects for discussion amongst two devotees or more. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interests and understanding. Such persons are said to be Svajati, of the same caste. The devotee should avoid a person whose character is not fixed in the standard understanding, even though he may be a Vaishnav or a devotee of Krishna. If his character is not correctly representative, then he should be avoided. One should strictly control the senses and the mind and strictly follow the rules and regulations. And he should make friendship with persons of the same standard. Gora-gra-ganya-gana-gotra-gulo-ruharam Gora-mra-gura-tama-gopya-da-kopa-briksham Gopala-gada-rati-dam-yati-singha-gora Govinda-deshika-vadam satatam-namami Manchakopa-lirugis-cham Kripa-sandubya-eva-cham Patitanam-pavamibhyo Vaishnavayam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare We should finish. Can someone tell me by 9, 9:15, 9:30, or 10 o'clock tonight? what's the schedule? Is anybody?
9:30.
Okay, that's great. So, this verse speaks about a very important principle. How we develop bhakti. Someone who is a Madhyama Adhikari. And Madhyama Adhikari doesn't mean someone who is a middle-class devotee exactly, but it means someone who has Adhikar, a qualification to receive bhakti. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that our communities should be based on the principles of Madhyama Adhikar. It's a very important thing. Srila Prabhupada wanted to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And famously, today many people are quoting statements from Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada said, 50% of my mission is not finished, it's Vanashram Dharma. I did some research on that statement, and I found some interesting things. First of all, you can't find that statement anywhere in Prabhupada's folio. Although it's supposed to be 50%. So for some time I was a little discouraged by the stress given, especially by certain persons, certain ideas about Vanashram Dharma. But then I came to find out that Abhiram Prabhu was instructed that privately by Srila Prabhupada. I have great respect and regard for Abhiram. He's a very sweet devotee. Abhiram Prabhu is the only devotee I've ever heard of who had such an intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And many devotees had intimate relationships, but not like Abhiram. Abhiram was Srila Prabhupada's nurse at the end of his life. And at one point, Prabhupada told him, I want you to sleep in the bed with me. And sometimes he would tell Abhiram, just come, just sit with me. I just want to talk. I just want a friend. Abhiram Prabhu had that kind of relationship, very special, intimate relationship. Bhakti Charamaraj also has commented, I heard that he had heard Srila Prabhupada say this formula, about 50%. Recently, I did some more research on this topic. And I found many statements from Srila Prabhupada in his books also that the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to establish Vanashram Dharma. And many, many statements also in his letters and conversations and lectures where he said now, and this is toward the end of his manifest presence, now we are going to focus on Vanashram Dharma. But what was that Vanashram Dharma? This is an important question. Was it Manasanhita and all the ladies should shut up and stand in the back? Was it that we should understand everything according to the Smriti Shastras like this and try to follow everything? There's a statement from Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda in Chaitanya Sikshamrita that as long as someone has material desires, they have to follow all the rules of Vanashram Dharma. Well, I'd like to inform you of a little fact. This temple room is not big enough to fill all the books which speak about the rules of Vanashram Dharma. You'll die. Even the most strict persons who were born and raised in Vanashram Dharma, and I know a number of people after living in Orissa for 25 years, even they can't follow all the rules and regulations of Vanashram Dharma. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Jiva Dharma, it's a long discussion, I'm going to cut it a little short, he says a very interesting thing. He speaks about who should follow Vanashram Dharma, and he says that someone who's born in a Yavana Malecha family, they don't have to follow Vanashram Dharma. He says that someone who had taken sannyas and he fell down from sannyas, we call that a vantasi, when someone's eating their own vomit. We don't even want to look at their face from a strict Vedic perspective. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says if he makes friends with the devotees and he practices bhakti, then he doesn't have to follow Vanashram. Or someone who's left Vanashram and fallen down, but they're practicing bhakti, they also don't have to follow Vanashram. And then the question comes, well, amongst the Vaishnava, amongst persons who follow Vanashram or don't follow Vanashram, who's the best? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whoever has bhakti is the best. And if neither one of them have bhakti, the person who's following Vanashram, the person who's not following Vanashram, we don't care for either one of them. And this was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. In 1968, in a conversation, questions and answers after Bhagavad Gita class in Los Angeles, Madhudwisa Prabhu, Prabhupada's dear disciple, asked many wonderful questions from Prabhupada, many deep questions, the kind of things you always wanted to ask Prabhupada. He asked him one time about Ras Lila, Prabhupada, what about Ras Lila and us? And that's another topic. But this time he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we heard about Vanashram Dharma. And how do we do that? And are we supposed to follow Vanashram Dharma? And how do we understand what is our position in Vanashram Dharma? And Prabhupada said, how did you come here? And Madhudwisa said, well, I was unhappy, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, no, no, no. How did you come here? What created your good fortune? And Prabhupada said, it wasn't Vanashram, was it? Were you following Vanashram Dharma before you came? Raise your hand. How many of you here, before you came to the practice of bhakti, were strictly following Vanashram Dharma, as a result of which punya you've gotten to come and become a devotee? Raise your hand. Not even one person. Bhakti sanjayate bhakti. It's described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. That bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent on Vanashram Dharma. But then why does Srila Prabhupada place so much stress on Vanashram Dharma? I also don't want to forget that. That Srila Prabhupada's desire, and he told some devotees, 50% of my mission, it was very much on his mind, very much on his heart. We should think deeply about it. In 1977, in Vrindavan, in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada had a series of morning walks, which were later called the Vanashram Talks in Vrindavan, the Vanashram College Talks. And we mentioned a little bit of this the other day, how in one of those walks, Srila Prabhupada was given a kind of formula for our movement, that in the beginning, we rent a storefront, we rent an apartment, a house, we go out and we do Harinam. We bring people in. We have a Sunday love feast. We distribute books. But then when people start coming, then we should purchase some property in the countryside. And we should have community. This is a very, very important principle. And this verse, which speaks about many different points, but I would like to focus on the principles that this verse is speaking on of friendship and different types of relationships. We've had a kind of template for many, many years in our Krishna consciousness movement of storefronts, renting a house, harinam, book distribution, prasadam distribution, and that's very wonderful. These are the principles of our society. And we saw in the late 60s and 70s, it was kind of a hip, cool thing to move into the ashram. Yeah, I'm moving into the ashram, I'm going to become a monk. But today, the sad fact of the matter is that practically no one wants to become a monk. No one wants to move into the temples. And also, even in our temples, we've experienced, to be brutally honest, with our open door policy like that, many people have come who sometimes are a little troublesome. It's difficult. The greatest asset of our Krishna consciousness movement is our outreach to the public. That's our greatest asset. But ironically, it's also our greatest liability. It's also our greatest difficulty. We're going out and preaching to prostitutes and pimps and drug addicts and meat eaters and butchers and some of them join and some of them are us. And this is our society. But it becomes difficult to practice bhakti in such an atmosphere. So what are the principles of community? Srila Prabhupada saw a need for community. If you go out today, you can do a little experiment, social experiment. Don't just take my word for it, but go out on the street and distribute books, talk to people about Krishna consciousness, as we do sometimes, and try two different presentations. Number one, tell people, yeah, you should come. We have a temple that fits 15,000 people. And you should come to our big, huge temple. And look at their face, see the kind of reaction you get from them. And then the next person, you try telling them, you know, we're really into community. And come and visit our community. We're really into intimate relationships. And look at the face, look on their face. See the look on their face. See the reaction that you get from that. Because bhakti is best practiced in intimate association. Bhakti stu, bhagavad bhakti, sanghena pari jayate. The Brihadaranyaka Purana describes that bhakti comes from devotees, from our association with devotees. The Satpata Tantra describes that we should love devotees. But how do we love devotees? In this purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about how we should make friendships with devotees. He says, for a devotee, there's no point in making friendships with ordinary persons. He should make friendships with other devotees. How? So that by discussing among themselves, and they elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding, this is called ishtagoshti. This is what really ishtagoshti means. I remember one temple where I was part of many years ago, this is about 30 years ago. The temple president, once a week, he would give Bhagavatam class. And he would sing Jai Radha Madhav, and he would read the verse, Bhagavatam, the purport. And after he finished it, then he would pull out the attendance sheet for the morning program. And he would say, so-and-so, Gaur Govinda, you haven't come to Mangal Arati this whole week. What's going on? And the poor devotees, And so-and-so, you've been missing Guru Puja. And then after he finished that, going around to all the devotees, he would pull out the scores, the Sankirtan, Lakshmi scores, and he'd say, so-and-so, you pledged you'd give $1,000 a week, and you only collected 500 this week. What's going on? And I remember thinking to myself at the time, this is really horrible. And we're looking around, seeing the faces of the devotees, because we're coming for hearing Bhagavatam. And that Bhagavatam, one of the characteristics, one of the external characteristics of the Bhagavatam, according to the first canto, is shoka moha bhayapaha. That just by hearing it, all your shoka moha and bhaya, all your fear, lamentation, and illusion, they go away. Because Bhagavatam is a haitaki, a patita, has no motivation. But if we use Bhagavatam to try to collect money, to try to become famous, or try to control devotees, then it loses that magic. But it's such a wonderful thing to go to a talk, and the person is not trying to make me a member. The person is not trying to get money out of me. He's not trying to control me. He just wants to speak about spiritual life. Wow. Wow. And then there's some trust. Paraspara anukatanam pavanam bhagavadya samito rati mitas tushya nivita mita atmana. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this word paraspara is used, which also appears in this verse, this purport. Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, there is reference to bodhayanta parasparam, discussing among themselves. Paraspara means some back and forth. This is what Krishna Katha should be. It's amongst Vaishnavas. It's not that oh, this person is a speaker, he's better, he's a different kind of jiva than the other Vaishnavas, and he's going to sit on the Vyasasan and get a garland, and he's somehow better than everybody. What a horrible, terrible consideration. And if we think like that in our society, the speakers will certainly fall down. And the general devotees, who's going to want to give class then? Huh? The Vaishnavas are Tanadupi Sanichina. They offer all respect to everyone. They speak as a service to the other Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnavas who are listening, they're also doing service. It's not passive. Listening is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. And afterwards, there should be some paraspara, some discussion back and forth. Oh, you said this. I really like that. I want to keep that in my heart. Sachinandamar said such a thing yesterday morning. I like so much. He said we shouldn't judge people by the way they look, but we should judge them by their aspiration. What they aspire for. We should consider that. And we should discuss those things back and forth. Then it begins to stick to our gut. Otherwise, I remember when I was a young boy, my parents forced me to go to church. I was like 16 years old. 16-year-old. It's not the coolest thing to force a 16-year-old to go to church. I became very expert at sitting up in the pew and sleeping, acting like I was sitting there. And we did, anyway, I didn't want to get in. We did very obnoxious things to the church at that time because we hated it. We didn't want to go there. What are we being forced into this for? That we don't want to listen to a lecture or sermon in the church. Nobody wants to listen to a commercial on television. But we want something which is going to uplift us, which is going to be relevant. And that should be paraspara, because Vaishnavism means community. Paraspara and a katanam, this kata, should be back and forth. Pavanam Bhagavad-yasa. It should be about Krishna. And then pavana, it's purifying for everyone. It's not just, I saw some movie on the airplane, I'll tell you the story. I know one temple I know of, you're not allowed to quote the previous acharyas. You can only speak from Prabhupada's books. That's the rule they have. And I said, that's okay. I respect it. That's very nice. Huh? But then you should really do that. And don't quote from the newspaper.
Yeah.
Don't quote from movies or this or that. But just really quote from Prabhupada's books. But aside from that, I have no problem quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I would much rather do that than quote the newspaper or something. Mm-hmm. We should learn how to associate with devotees by coming together and having Krishna Katha. Now that Krishna Katha, the 11th canto describes, the qualities of such a sangha is mita rati mitas tushya nivrita mita atmana. That some friendship comes. And that friendship is based on trust. It's not mentioned directly in the verse, but it's a clear unspoken principle. Because mito rati mitas tushtir, in that assembly of the devotees, they began to reveal their heart. And one person says, you know, I used to be really attached to watching television, but it's been so nice, this festival in Goloka Dham, I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to do that anymore. And somebody else says, wow, yeah, I'm also going to do the same thing. Huh? But if you're going to be made fun of, if people are going to write about you on the internet, yeah, did you know what this guy was watching television before? Huh? Once I was attending class in a temple And this is again about 40 years ago. And one, it's a friend of mine, he's giving the class, and he gave what we would call in America a hellfire and brimstone class. It was a real strong class. And he was like chastising the rest of the devotees, you shouldn't watch television. Television is complete maya. And I was watching the rest of the devotees, and they're all kind of fidgeting, looking really nervous and stuff. And he's getting really heavy on them. And he finished the class, and then he said, are there any questions? And nobody had any question. All the blood had drained from their faces. They're just white. And then the devotee who was speaking, his little boy stood up. His little boy is about 5 years old. Very straightforward little boy. And he said, Pita, why do you watch television? And the same thing happened. All the devotees started laughing so hard. And he tried to say something, but everybody was laughing so hard, he couldn't even say anything. What kind of society is that? What kind of community is that? Well, we can't even just be honest about ourselves. And we have to hide things. And there's no trust. He doesn't trust them. They don't trust him. And the whole community is based on the principle of a lack of trust. So this trust is a very, very important principle. And it's based on Krishna Katha. And we see the motivation of the speakers. Are they just trying to become famous, trying to get some people? Are they trying to get money? I'm not very inspired by that. But if we see someone just speaking Krishna Katha, that's so nectar. It's such a simple thing. Such a simple process. And this is how all devotees associate. The Sapta Tantra describes. Hari Lila Satochara Padeshu Satatam Tvaya Karya Pritistabaharir Yata Bhakti Nanashyati. Yata Bhakti Nanashyati. This is a short story of our movement over the last 40 years or so. If you want to protect your bhakti, if you don't want to fall down, then you should learn to love devotees. And how do we love devotees? Prabhuji, will you go to the movies with me? It's okay, I'm going with Gaur Govinda Prabhu. He's got tilak on, he's a devotee. He's wearing his dhoti at the movie, so it's sadhu sangha. It's not sadhu sangha. It means that we should love devotees by hearing Krishna Katha. But that Krishna Katha should be bodhayanta parasparam. It should be thoughtful, not just like a parrot speaking something. And there should be some back and forth. And this is istagosti. Istagosti doesn't mean we come together and we start reading the attendance sheet or the score, the Sankirtan scores. Istagosti is not a management meeting. Management meetings are management meetings, and it's also an important feature of community. It's necessary. But istagosti means you come together in a goshti and you speak about your Ishtadev. You speak about Krishna. And there's some paraspara, there's some back and forth amongst the devotees. This is Vrindavan. This is management amongst devotees. We need to have, as said, we need unity, not uniformity. We want to try to come together as a unit, but not that we become uniform. And trying to manage the devotees, trying to make devotees uniform, is like trying to get a herd of cats to march in unison. Can you do that then, Rajamanita? Rajamanita likes cats. How can you get cats to march in unison? How can you get devotees to all be uniform? It's not possible. It's not desirable. It's not natural. There's strength in our diversity, not in our similarities. If everyone becomes the same, then there's no strength, and there's no community. There's a very, very powerful thing in community. Marriage is a very, very powerful thing. When two persons come together with a like mind and they work together, then their joint effort becomes more than two. It becomes like three or four or more. And similarly, in a community of like-minded persons, it becomes very, very powerful. But that community means commitment and unity. Commitment and unity means community. So where is that commitment and unity? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he left Nabadweep, he instructed the devotees before he went to Jagannath Puri. He spoke to them some basic principles, which I like to consider are principles about community. And the first thing that he told them was, Stani Stita. To paraphrase the Bhagavatam, Mahaprabhu said, Tomara Takibe, stay where you're at. This is the first principle in community. I'll sing his verses. Kinchen Hare Krishna response. Tomara Takibe, Agyan Koribe Palan, Nirantara Diva Nishi Koribe Kirtan. Hello.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Oh, Agya Kori Vipala. Mahaprabhu said, please accept my Agya, my instruction. Stay where you're at. This is the first principle of community. How can you have a community if the population is constantly changing? How can you develop love and trust amongst devotees if you don't know who just moved in yesterday and your friend just moved out the day before? And we're constantly moving. As one sadhu told me in Vrindavan once, he said, Madhav Nanda, the ISKCON devotees are very nice. The only complaint that I have to offer is you never stay in one place. It used to be the sannyasis were traveling everywhere. And now the brahmacharis are also traveling, and now the grihasthas are also traveling everywhere. And they go and they stay somewhere for 2 years or 6 months or whatever, and then they shift to another place and then another place. Where is a sense of community? Community requires elders. It requires wisdom. It requires people to make some commitment. Commitment and unity is community. And this is the first principle Mahaprabhu speaks about. Tomara Takibe. Don't go running here and there. It's required to make a home with persons that we know. And maybe sometimes we might consider making a community that doesn't have an open door policy, in which not everyone is welcome. And there's precedent for that. In fact, that's how the Sankirtan movement began, in the house of Srivas Thakur. And Bideshi Prabeshini Shade, there was a sign put on the door, outsiders not allowed inside. And it was just Antaranga Bhaktas, intimate devotees, and it was very, very thick and very, very sweet. And then later they went out in the street. Mahaprabhu began his Sankirtan movement behind closed doors, and he finished his Sankirtan movement behind closed doors in the Gambira in Jagannath Puri. So if we're to think that, oh, that's illegal to be behind closed doors, we have to have open doors policy all the time, and everyone is allowed to come at any time, any person. And anyway, you used to be a child molester. Well, you're chanting Hare Krishna now. You've gotten over that, so you're welcome to come and stay in our community. If we have such attitudes, we're going to have big problems. And how will we be able to speak deeply about bhakti? It's required some paraspara. And Prabhupada goes on to speak too. In the purport, he says, Swajatiya. The devotee should be Swajatiya. And Prabhupada there, I think he's paraphrasing a verse from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami says, Swajati asya snigda sadhu sangha sato vare. That if you want to practice bhakti, you should do it first of all with people who are Swajatiya, who are like-minded. It's an important principle. And even amongst our society, yesterday we heard a very nice offering from Prabhuji for Srila Prabhupada. He made a comment I was just telling him I like very much, that Srila Prabhupada was both liberal and conservative. Sometimes devotees say, we should be conservative, Prabhu. My friend Burke Rutchford, who's a professor at the University of Vermont, and one of the foremost authorities in the world, secular authorities on the Hare Krishna movement. He's a sociologist who did his PhD on the Hare Krishna movement. He commented a few years ago, he said that the problem with ISKCON today, you become more smarta, more conservative than Srila Prabhupada. And you're setting all these rules and you have to do all the mudras and everything just right. And Prabhupada kept things very simple. So some people say we should be very conservative, and the other devotees say, no, we should be very liberal. But think about it. Srila Prabhupada is the most conservative and the most liberal. And devotees shouldn't identify themselves as conservative or as liberal. We're both. We are so conservative, people faint. We talk about four regulated principles. It's not a good topic to discuss when you first meet somebody, right? People might think, that's nice, have a good day, I'll see you later. I don't want to talk with you about that. We're so concerned, and we're so liberal, we don't want to step on ants. We believe in being respectful to everyone, and we believe that everyone can come. In Berkeley, California, when the devotees established a temple there, Charu Prabhu was temple president at that time, and there was an interesting episode. There was one person who joined the temple and he went into the Brahmacharya ashram and he was coming to Mangalartik and every day and things. And then one day he came to Mangalartik dressed in a sari. And the devotees were a little, what do you do with that? And they said, what are you doing? And he said, I decided I'd rather be a woman. Okay. And so Charuprabhu wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. We don't know what to do. And Prabhupada wrote back to that devotee who was wearing the sari, and Prabhupada said, that's okay. Just decide if you want to be a man, if you want to be a woman, and then act accordingly. It's not a big problem. It's a big problem if you want to try to do that in Gujarat, or in Orissa, or something in general, in a very conservative place. But our movement embraces both. We have both very conservative and very liberal. Both things are required. We appreciate devotees, Hari Lila Sutto Chara Parishi Sutta Tam Tvam, because they're speaking Krishna Katha. Krishneti Yashigiri Tam Manasadriyeta. Anyone who chants Hare Krishna, we offer respect to them in our mind. Dikshasti Chet Pranati Bhishcha Bhajanta Nisham. Anyone who has Diksha is worshipping the deity. My God, they're an associate of the Lord. They're rendering direct physical service to the Lord. Not Pranati Bhish. I offer my pranam to that person. Huh? And someone who's vidyam ananya bhajan, who's doing ananya to bhajan, he's very expert in bhajan, in nindadi shunya hridam, whose heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. How do you know? I have never heard him criticize anybody, but I've only spoken to him for about 5 minutes. Yeah. So, I can say he's that personality. He doesn't ever criticize anybody. You tricked me, maybe, I don't know. So how do you know? If there was some kind of like x-ray machine or something, we could look in someone's heart, then we could actually, it would solve a lot of problems in this time, the guru problem, isn't that right? Oh, this person's qualified, they're free from the propensity to criticize, but you don't know. But what it means, Rupa Goswami, a very simple meaning is that don't hang out with people who criticize others. And if they start criticizing others, then we say, Durteki Dandavat. There's a saying in Bengali, I from our basis from a distance. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj recently suggested one yojana of distance means 8 miles, a long ways away from anybody who wants to criticize. Nindadi Shunya Ridam Ipsita Sangalabhya. And Sangalabhya, that's the association that I want. That's the community that I want. A community of people who can put that aside. Maybe there's something in their heart that they find some fault in someone. But as Satchinanda Maharaj was saying yesterday, we see the aspiration of that person. As Rupa Goswami says, Krishneti Yashigiri Tam Manasadhyayata, we see the fact that they're chanting and we can associate with them. So Mahaprabhu's instructions. Tumara taki be agya kori be palan. Stay where you're at. Don't go here and there. How are we going to advance in bhakti if we're constantly moving from one place to another? How will we develop communities if we do like that? How will we develop communities if our communities have an open door policy always, all of our communities? Where people come and they go very freely, and we lose people, we lose valuable persons we've spent so much time on training and working with, and the new people are coming and there's not a level of trust yet. How can there be a level of trust? We don't know them yet. And he said, the nirantara dibi nishi kori be kirtan. Day and night you do kirtan. Why? Kali kukur kadanjari chao he. Kali yuga pavana kali boya nasana. Sri Satchinandana gao he. Kali kukur kadan jari chao hey. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings that if you want to drive out the dog of Kali,
the dog of quarrel. You have to do kirtan. My wife and I, when we got married, one wonderful sadhu, who had so much affection for us, he gave us a very nice instruction just after our marriage. He said, every day, do kirtan together. Every day. Because otherwise, you'll have some criticism, you'll have some quarrel coming. Every community, the devotees should have kirtan together. But kirtan also is not enough. Wait a minute, what is he saying? Harunama, 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 Eva Kevam. How can you say kirtan is not enough? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, you can't separate Krishna from his antaranga shakti Srimati Radharani. And so similarly, Hari Kirtan, who is a manifestation of the Lord, Abhinatvanamanamino, also has its shakti. And don't try to separate the two. And what is the shakti of Hari Kirtan? Krishna Katha. You may do kirtan. I like going to kirtan melas and things, but sometimes I think, what is the conception everybody has in the kirtan? Some people, they come, and I, speaking with them, I can tell you it's a fact, they're coming because there's some really cute girls, there's some really hunky guys who are coming there, and other people are coming because, damn, it's good music. I feel good about myself. Other people, they're praying, dear Krishna, please give me a job. Please let my mind be peaceful. And maybe somebody else is praying for bhakti. It's like khichdi. There's so many different conceptions. But when Srila Prabhupada did kirtan, he would first have Krishna Katha. Because when we have Krishna Katha, we all get together on the same page. Parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavad-yasa. We should learn how to associate with devotees by coming together and having Krishna Katha. If we only do kirtan, then who knows what everybody else is thinking? Some people might be thinking, man, if I keep doing this kirtan, I'm going to become Krishna. I'm going to merge with God. I'll enter into the white light. Some people may be thinking like that. Who knows what they're thinking? There has to be some Krishna Katha. You can't separate Krishna from Radha. You shouldn't separate Hari Katha from Hari Kirtan. The two go together hand in hand. So Mahaprabhu's next instruction to the devotees in Navadvipa for community. Harinama Bhakta Seva Kori Vestapan Ehi Dharma Kori Jena Tari Sarajan. Bolo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare.
He says, especially these two things. Kori be stapana e dharma. If you want to establish my movement, stapana means to establish. Kori be means to do. Kori be stapana e dharma. You want to establish this movement. It's very simple. Two things are there. Not one, but two things. Both are required. Harinama bhakta seva. We chant the holy names, but chanting the name by itself is not enough. Bhakta Seva. Srila Prabhupada once, when he went to Hawaii, he was informed about a group of devotees who had left ISKCON because they couldn't get along with the management kind of thing. We can understand that sometimes. Unless you have certain saintly persons as managers, that's another thing. But he was told that they'd left, and Prabhupada asked, were they chanting? Yes, Prabhupada, they're chanting Hare Krishna, but they're not doing any service. And Prabhupada said, it will take them thousands of lifetimes. They may be chanting. Shiva Ramaraj told us recently when we went to speak with him in New Brajadam that I see many devotees, they're chanting 16 rounds, they're following four regulated principles, it's all very good, but I don't know what result they're going to get. Because they're not taking part in the mission. And the mission, very briefly, as Srila Prabhupada, means bhakta seva. It means to serve the devotees, either directly at festivals like this, or indirectly by making more devotees out in the street and distributing books. Bhakta seva, these two principles, they go hand in hand. Harinama bhakta seva, kori be stapana. E dharma kori jena tari sarvajan. In this instruction, he said, it's for everybody. Sarvajan, it's not just for the residents of Navadvip, but it's for everybody. And then Mahaprabhu Prabhupada's in his purport, the verse speaks about yama niyamena cha, the final words. Huh? There's some things you do and some things you avoid. So Mahaprabhu has given us some positive things to do. And now in the next verse, he tells the residents of Navadvipa some negative things. Nirmatsara anjaya hoye be sarva jam sarva sarva kara mam koro aradam
molo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Don't have any envy in your hearts. Be simple. But if we start thinking, why this guy is in charge? You know, I can do so much better than them. And did you hear about this guy? I saw through the window he was eating prasadam in the bathroom. Very, very bad. Did you read on the internet what they said about him? If we have some envy in our hearts, how will we be able to have community? We have to drive that envy out. Hoyabe Sayavajan. And Mahaprabhu gives a positive thing there. How do we deal with it? Sabha Sabha Kara Mana Kora Aradhana. With all your hearts, you should worship and serve each other. I don't know who's a Vaishnava and who's not a Vaishnava. Bhrigu Muni didn't look very good, did he? He went and kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. That's a pretty bad thing. But Vrindavan Das Thakur says, hey, sadhu sabadam, be careful. You don't know. Actually, it was the Lord's desire that he do that. And because he was a devotee, he did that. Because he wanted to glorify the Lord. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, wow, that's kind of tough then. How do you know who's a devotee and who's not a devotee? If we're supposed to respect devotees. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, I have a very simple solution for that. Just treat everybody like a devotee. Respect everybody. And especially Krishnaiti Yashagiri Twam Manasadrayeta, anyone who's chanting the holy names. We, with all our hearts, we worship and serve each other. This is a principle of community. How many devotees here played cards? I know you're all pure devotees now, you don't play cards now, but how many used to play cards before you were devotee? I sometimes did, okay. Old maid or rummy or something else. So the principle of cards is a very interesting principle. You can only play the game according to whatever cards you've been dealt. In English we call it the hand. I've been given a certain hand of cards. If you don't like the cards you've been dealt, you can't play the game, right? So now we can look around us here in the room, huh, and see, these are the cards we've been dealt. This is what I've been given. This is the association I've been given. I may want to always associate with Sachinandan Maharaj. That would be very wonderful. But it's very, very difficult because he's always moving and I can't afford all those plane tickets and things to be with him all the time. And also, I don't know if he's going to appreciate it if I'm hanging around with him all the time. I can't always do it, but Krishna's given me certain association. And I may think that these guys, they're not pure devotees. I want to associate with Uttam Vaishnava. They may be pure, they may not be pure. But Krishna sent them to help me in a particular way. And even their lack of purity may be representative of some lesson that I need to learn. Some lesson of tolerance, of forgiveness, of compassion that I need to learn in my own bhakti. We should accept that. We should accept when you get married. It's a great lesson in tolerance and patience. To be a married person. It's a great lesson in tolerance and patience to live in a community. It's like being married to 40 people. Oh my God. It's a very, very difficult thing. And you wouldn't just marry anybody. Hey, what's your name? You look really, really hot. You're a cute babe. Would you marry me? Who's going to do like that? Only someone very, very foolish. But this is a direction our society is going in today. Just on the basis of looks. We're going to accept someone as a husband or as a wife or as a member of the temple, maybe. We should be very careful. We need to create communities. And this principle of service to the Vaishnavas, of a respect to all the Vaishnavas, is such an important principle. Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sachi Mata in Vrindavan, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Eti keva jaha Krishna sami sanga kore mani chinta Krishna Mata Mukhi Bolo Hare Bolo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
You should worship Krishna, but you do it. Bhajaha Krishna Sadhu Sangha Kori. You worship Krishna with the devotees. It's not possible to worship Krishna without the devotees. But sometimes the devotees are really a pain. But that's maybe some lesson that I have. And Prabhupada describes in his purport that we may avoid certain persons. Prabhupada writes in one purport in Madhulila, he says that one should practice upeksha or neglect when they see some envy. And then he says, it's not my words, it's Prabhupada's words, he says, there are many envious persons in this Krishna conscious movement and one should avoid them. That's an important principle in bhakti. So this verse is speaking something about the nature of a Madhyam Adhikari. The nature of a Madhyam Adhikari, he has different types of relationships. Ishwara Tadadineshu. He loves the Lord. Ishwara Tadadineshu. Bali Seishu, Dvisatsucha, Prema Maitri Kupopeksha, Yakuroti Samadhyama. This is a Madhyam Adhikari. He loves the Lord. And Adineshu, persons in connection with the Lord, the devotees, he makes friendship with them. Making friendship with the devotees is such an important part of bhakti. And that friendship should be very, very deep. And that friendship should be based on the principles of bhakti. But it has to be persons that we can trust. It has to be persons that we can open our heart up with. And that doesn't happen generally in a stadium of people. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said there's two types of speakers. There's a platform speaker who's speaking before a crowd of 1,000 people. And he says the words of a platform speaker, they don't penetrate the heart very much. But when we sit down in private with a few friends and we open up our hearts, those words go very, very deep. That's Gaura Gambira Leela. That's Mahaprabhu and the Gambira teaching us that we need to have some intimacy. So Adineshu, we have to develop friendship with the devotees. Bali Seishu, anyone who's like a child, very simple, and proportionately to their simplicity, we show kripa, or mercy, to those persons. If they're really simple, really, really simple, just like I heard a story of one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, they were on Brajmandala Parikrama, and they, as they were walking, they came across a group of Mayavadis, sannyasis. And somehow this devotee, this disciple Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, saw one of these Mayavadi sannyasis and he just started chastising him. And then he grabbed him by the hand and said, come with us. And he took him to the temple. And he brought him to the temple president and said, you take care of this guy. And he became a devotee because he was simple. And somehow that devotee could see his simplicity. Many years ago we had the good fortune of doing Parikrama in Orissa with Sachinanda Maharshi about a month. Just a few days ago, he's asking, Madhavanandi, do you remember that? Those are the good old days. We had more time, we could go places and things. One day we were doing Harinam together in Puri. There's about four of us, I think, in our little group doing Harinam. And we happened to go past the Govardhan Mutt. The Govardhan Mutt in Jagannath Puri is a place of Shripad Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya. It's a Mayavadi school. And there were two guys standing out there. Now, this is a true story. These guys, they had Tripundaran, Mayavad Tilak, and Rudraksha beads. And they were Mayavadis. And they saw this kirtan of these bideshis. And it was really an ecstatic kirtan. There's only four or five of us, but it was really, really some feeling. And they were just like this. And Sachinanda Maharshi said, he just grabbed one of them by the hand. And then they just started following us. And it was like something out of a movie, really. In the beginning of the kirtan, they couldn't chant at all. They were just kind of there. And then after a while, they kind of, Hare Krishna. You know, they started trying to chant. And the names are barely coming out of their mouth. And they stayed with us for a few hours. And after a couple hours, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And they were just like dancing. And then we let them go. So if someone's very simple, we give them mercy. And dvisatsu. If someone is envious, then we have to practice upeksha, or neglect. And that may even be with devotees. If we, out of some sentiment, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that the nature of a Kanishtha Adhikari is, he tries to imitate the Uttama Adhikari. And he says, what did this guy, why did he kick this person out of the temple? Why are they telling us to be selective in our association? I just love everybody. And I want to associate with everybody. Huh? That's like the attitude of a little puppy dog. Puppy dogs love everybody. Yeah? For about a few days or a week. And then after they've been stepped on a few times or kicked and bitten by other dogs and almost run over by a car, then they start to learn some discrimination. Uh-huh. Discrimination is required. And if someone says, I love everyone, it means you don't love anyone. You don't know what love is. Because love means discrimination. It means that I love you because of these particular qualities. I love you because you're chanting, because you're serious about bhakti, because you're not criticizing anyone. That's the association that I want. That's a very, very important principle. Mm-hmm. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he, in Jiva Dharma, when he speaks about this principle of association with Madhyama Adhikaris, he says that, what does it mean, this upeksha, this neglect? He says, it doesn't mean if someone is hungry. They may be envious, but they're hungry. It doesn't mean you don't feed them. It's cold out, it's winter time in Germany. It's really cold, a lot worse than Jagannathpuri where we stay. Huh? It is so cold out, it doesn't mean you don't let someone come and stay in your house. So then what does it mean, that upeksha? Bhaktivinoda says a very heavy, heavy thing. Upeksha means that we don't speak Krishna Katha with them. I remember a few years ago at the Govardhan retreat, Satchinanda Maharaj made a comment at the end, which I really appreciated. He said, there's certain kinds of people, you know, that you may be talking with them and say, hey, you know, it's 11:30 in the morning right now. What do you think Krishna's doing right now in Vrindavan? And he asked them, and they look at you. He said, what, you have some sexual agitation or something? We're not supposed to talk about those kind of things. There's certain people who are like that. You're not supposed to talk about Krishna. Or you go to somebody and say, hey, you know, I just read this really cool thing in Krishna book. And you know when Krishna was with the cow? And they say, I already read Krishna book. Leave me alone. What are you trying to preach to me? Get away from me. There's some envy there. So don't speak Krishna Katha with that person. That's upeksha. It doesn't mean that you go to the job and you put your hand in front of your face when your boss comes. I'm not going to look at you. Then what? You're a meat eater. And you're not a devotee. You're not going to keep your job. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he comments that you not only have to look at him, you have to smile. And you don't have to smile, but you also talk to him and be friendly with him. How is your wife? How did the operation for your mother go? How was your vacation? How are the kids doing? But he says you don't offer your heart to them. It's just external. And with certain devotees, we also have to do the same thing. We have to learn the art of communication, the art, the skill of dealing with different persons. If we see someone is very envious, then we're nice and, hey, how's it going? Had some pizza lately? Hey, I know you like that. Hey, nice to see you, bro. I got to go right now. And just love them and appreciate them and go away. Get away from them before some envy or something comes. So we should learn to appreciate the Vaishnavas. And the question may come, which Vaishnavas should we appreciate? I'd like to finish with a story that I like very much, we often tell. There was one devotee of Ramanujacharya, his name was Lalacharya. And Lalacharya was very devoted to his Guru Maharaj, Ramanuja. And Ramanuja one day gave him some very deep instructions, personal instructions. He said, Lalacharya, you should love the devotees, the Vaishnavas, as much as you love Krishna. And Lalacharya said, Guru Maharaj, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Lalacharya was an advanced devotee, and he was very simple. He had love for Krishna, but he said, I can't love the devotees in the same way I love Krishna. And Ramanuja said, okay, at least then you should love the devotees as much as you love your guru. Lalacharya said, Guru Maharaj, I'm sorry, I also can't do that. And Ramanuja said, okay, at least, minimum, you should love the devotees as much as you love your brother. You should treat them like your family member. And Lalacharya said, yes, Guru Maharaj, I can do that. A few days later, Lalacharya's wife, she gone to the bank of the Kaveri River, where they live nearby. Kaveri River is a sacred river in South India. She'd gone there to wash her clothes. And she saw something very startling. There was a dead body, a corpse, in the river. And that corpse, he had kunti mala and tilak. So she went back to her husband, and she said, "Some Vaishnav died. His body's in the river." When Lalacharya heard that, he's so simple. His Guru Maharaj told him, he said, "Love the Vaishnavas like you love your brother." Lalacharya started crying. "My brother died." And he called for the devotees, and they got a palanquin, and they went and carried the dead body, and he burned the body, and he performed all the rituals and things. And then a few days later, he gave some invitation to all the Brahmins in his village. He told them, "My brother died, so I'd like to invite all of you for some bhojan, some big feast." And those Brahmins, they were smart Brahmins, and they were a little envious. And they started talking to him. "What is this Lalacharya? This guy's nuts." "Yeah, ever since he joined those Hare Krishna people, he's been like that, you know. He's going to ruin our whole community. Who knows what that person was? He had some neck beads and tilak. So what? What kind of... We don't know. Maybe he was a sudra or this or that. And he wants us to go and eat his food? That's not prasadam." And so they were criticizing him. Lalacharya felt some pain in his heart. So he went back to his Guru Maharaj. "Gurudev, you told me to love the Vaishnavas like my brother. But these Brahmins, they're criticizing me for this. What should I do? They won't come. I want to have this feast, this program to honor the Vaishnava who departed, and they won't come." Ramanuja didn't say anything. He just looked up into the sky. And then he looked down for a moment, and he told Lalacharya, "Go home. Some Brahmins will come." "Yes, Gurudev. Thank you, Gurudev." Lalacharya is so simple. Ramanuja told him, "You just prepare something, your guests will be coming." "Yes, Gurudev." And so he went back home. A little later, a group of Brahmins who weren't from that village arrived. They were very effulgent persons. And they asked the people in the village, "Do you know there's some fellow here named Lalacharya? Do you know him?" Yeah, over there. "Yeah, his brother died. He invited us for the feast." And the local Brahmins, they were seeing these visiting Brahmins, and they were thinking, "These guys, what, they're going to go eat that food from Lalacharya? These Hare Krishna people are going to spoil everything in our community." So look, here's what we'll do. We'll sit outside. And after they finish eating that so-called food, not prasadam, but that so-called food, we'll wait outside and we'll laugh at them and make fun of them when they come out of Lalacharya's house. Really good idea. So those Brahmins, they went and knocked on the door of Lalacharya's house. And Lalacharya opened the door. They said, "Oh, Ramanuja, your Guru Maharaj told us we should come. Oh, please come in, come in." He brought them wine and sat them down, offered them a nice banana leaf plate. And eating off a banana leaf, according to Ayurveda, it's very, very good for health. And he brought each one of them some prasadam. And he served all of them so nicely, with so much feeling and affection. Gave all of them some gifts. And then, by dint of his sincerity, those Brahmins showed him something special. They showed him that they all had four arms. And they were residents of Vaikuntha. And Lalacharya, he became so ecstatic, and he offered obeisances, and he was crying, "Oh my God, thank you so much for coming." And they were saying, "Thank you. Very nice prasadam. Ramanuja told us we should come. It's very good. We came." And then they came out of the house, and all those village Brahmins were waiting to make fun of them, right? And those effulgent Brahmins came out, and an amazing thing happened. They started walking up the steps, only there was no steps there. They were just started walking up into the air, into the sky. And the local Brahmins, they became a little lost for words. And they had, we would say in American, attitude adjustment. They realized, made a big mistake. And they went to Lalacharya and said, "Please forgive us. Can we have some of that prasad also?" "We made a big mistake. We're so sorry." And Lalacharya is so simple, so forgiving, so nice. He said, no, you didn't do any offense at all. It was by your mercy that the residents of Vaikuntha came to my house. Thank you so much. This is a principle of community. Vrindavan is a principle of community where Krishna is kept in the center. And this is such a valuable and necessary thing for our society. We need to create intimate community for the sake of the devotees. So the devotees don't fall down, so devotees have some strength. Hari Lila Sutochara, Pareshu Sutatam, Karya Pritista Bahara Yatam Bhaktana Nashati. We should learn to love devotees by Krishna Katha, when they're speaking Krishna Katha, when they're doing kirtan. They may not be the most perfect person. He's got an old tattoo that says some bad words on their arm or something, you know. But who cares about that? They're chanting the holy names. We see their aspirations. We shouldn't see the faults that they may have right now. So we'll stop there. I know it's a little late, I'm sorry. Do we have time for a little paraspara? Anybody have any comments or thoughts about this? We should have had half an hour just for that. Prabhuji, what do you think?
I think it's a wonderful class. So nourishing. Thank you. It's really amazing.
Okay. Any particular points that you like?
Yeah.
I think he's trying to borrow money for it.
No, I really, because when you were speaking about community, I really appreciate the importance of discrimination and the way that you explained it in a way which is healthy and in line with our philosophy. Because I was speaking to a devotee the other day and I saw that, I was sharing that I see that sometimes people who have been hurt or are on the fringes or have left, it's often because they didn't really take to heart the need to wisely interact with devotees so that they could actually get mercy, but without necessarily getting unnecessary negative experiences. And I think this is something that's so required to be emphasized for healthy community. Mm-hmm. And I also appreciate that I can see that you thought about what's being said. So it's not just the teaching, not just the tattva, but it's the tattva and how it's applied by us in the real world context, so we can move forward in our spiritual life. So I really appreciate both of those points.
Thank you. Very nice comment. It reminds me of another point that I see certain people, they just seem so obsessed with management. And you see them on the internet and they're criticizing, yeah, the GBC and the temple president is this, this, and this. And you know, for me, I'm sorry, with all respect, if there's any hidden cameras here right now or anything, I respect the GBC. And I respect the temple presence of Gaudiya Hari Prabhu's listening somewhere. That gives them great respect. But honestly, I don't take them so seriously. Who really cares? They're a temple president now, and 6 months or 6 years later, they're not. Somebody else is. It's not just something embedded in their soul. But what I take seriously is kirtan and Krishna Katha in association with devotees. And I find that people who are complaining, yeah, the management is so bad, they're obsessed with management. Why do you think that management is a solution? Prabhupada never said to the International Society for Management Consciousness. It's Krishna consciousness. The solution is chanting. The solution is kirtan and harikata and worship the deity. Why don't we focus on that? And the managers are important. They're doing what they can. We give respect to them. But we're not all about management. To me, it's just like the flip side of a coin when people start complaining about that. Anybody else with any reflections of that? Krishna Kaur? Speak loudly, please.
I have 2 points. One of them I really like is the quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how Krishna Kirtan, Nam is Abhinatan Nama Namino. Krishna Kirtan is non-different from Krishna himself, but then Krishna's Antaranga Shakti Srimati Radharani is present in the form of Krishna Katha, and she has to be present. And I just observed this in every Kirtaniya who tries to really break his heart and it's really for Krishna, such Manoraj always says a few words just before kirtan. He just sets the mood. It's not to be 2 hour Krishna Katha, but just something, some kind of conception. This is what we are praying for. Go and learn from yesterday. Chant, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, with every mantra, just before the video, he was making this comment. So I just marked how devotees do this, and it's really wonderful.
Thank you.
And the second point is that you told about Varnashram Dharma, and what kind of Varnashram Dharma did Srila Prabhupada want? And then you spoke about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 4 points, 4 instructions that he left for the residents of Navadvip. And I was just connecting these 2 things together in my heart and mind, that this is the kind of Varnashram that Prabhupada wanted. Stalistita, Karnala Bhakta Seva, Nirantara Sevayware, just Nirantara Dishini Bib Chan Deya Night Krishna Kirtan. The next one is what Harinama Bhakta Seva, chant the holy name and serve the devotees. And with all your heart, worship and serve the Vaishnavas. This is Ravana Shandama. This is community for us.
And that's going to be attractive for people. And we want to preach. Come join our community. We're really into this book called Manasanhita. And before you come, you have to, your hair is not parted in the middle. You have to part, and your hair is too short, or you're not covering your hair, or you just, you know, who cares about that? It's not related to bhakti. Thank you. Prabhuji, something?
So you talked about how Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about neglecting the envious people and extends that to also the devotees who are envious as well. My question is, whose responsibility, so that devotee is also chanting Hare Krishna and maybe trying his little bit, but still has this quality of envy, and I want to extend this to other qualities of pride, lust, anger, etc. So whose responsibility is it to cultivate that devotee, to care for that devotee and have the Krishna Katha with that devotee that maybe someone on my level will not be able to do so?
Sometimes questions can be a little startling. It's a little bit of a startling question. Whose responsibility is it? If we even ask that question as a society, it means something's wrong. It's everybody's responsibility. That's what community means. As Niranjan Maharaj was telling the devotees in Kiev, I said, people are coming to the temple sometimes, and they're brand new people, and nobody talks to them. Whose responsibility is it? It's everybody's responsibility. In a community, it's everybody's responsibility to care for some person, and especially the persons that that person has some love for, or some trust for. Because love also means responsibility. If I'm going to give my love to you, it means you're going to give your love to me. I have some responsibility to try to help you, to help to look after you, care for you when you have problems. That's what love means. That's everybody's responsibility. Sometimes questions are a little startling. Recently, we were in one place, I won't even say where, and a devotee, it was like a kind of a middle league devotee in terms of seniority or whatever in that area. He'd been a devotee for at least 10 years and was a preacher, and a nice, gentle person. He'd come to this program with his mother. He didn't look like a fanatical or anti-women or anything. But he asked me a question, two questions. He said, very sincerely, how can women make spiritual advancement in our movement? And the second question was, how can they be educated? And I was shocked. I said, what kind of question is that? Where have you been? You haven't learned anything. Huh? What to speak of, you know, why are you making this distinction between men and women? Even animals, everyone makes advancement by hearing the holy name. That's the process for this age. What are you thinking like this? And reading Srimad Bhagavatam, that's our education for everyone. Why are you thinking like this? Huh? Not your question, but just reminded me of that. Prabhuji,
I am looking a place like the house of Haridas Thakur, and maybe I am not so qualified to enter this place, but I am also looking at a person who can give me the qualification to enter to this place. If this is my difficulty, to find this person and to find this place.
Uh-huh. It's a little hard for me to hear. Let me just paraphrase what I heard and see if it's correct.
Yes.
That you said you have something of a desire to be like Haridas Thakur, and associate with good persons, but how do you find those persons?
Yes, and how I can be qualified to find this person.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a secret in spiritual life. Our consciousness attracts association. If we just watch mundane movies and associate with nonsense people and things, we're going to attract people like that. And if we are sincere and do our best in chanting, then Krishna will send us good association. Krishna's in control. Krishna's in control. And we should cry to Krishna, please send me association. My Guru Maharaj was born and raised in a Gaudiya Vaishnava family. Never broke the principles in his whole life, didn't even know what that meant, basically. Raghavendra Maharaj, he was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, a sannyasi. He had a few thousand disciples. But he wrote a diary every day. He read prayers to Gopal. And the last day before he left this world, his last prayer, his last diary entry was, he said, "Dear Gopal, please give me like-minded association." So although he's going to the GBC meetings, and he had some friends in the GBC, so he's praying that, even though he has so many disciples and so many people around him, he's wanting that. I think we should always hanker for that. We should always want that kind of association, and we should pray to Krishna to send it to us. I hope that's some help. Anybody else? You had something, Prabhu? Mataji?
Thank you. I liked your mention that Srimad Bhagavat discussion should diminish all fear and grief.
Shoka moha bhayapaha, the external symptoms of the Bhagavatam is, if we're hearing Bhagavatam, there's no fear, anxiety, or illusion. And that's why we all come together. And all those anxieties and things go away, all the petty things. I saw the way he was looking at me when I said this thing the other day. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe he's trying to scratch his neck or something. We're imagining so many things. But when we come together in just a simple way and hear Bhagavatam, it goes away. Thank you. Okay, anybody?
Yeah, I appreciate very much how, in my mind, you kind of encourage us to also have circles of intimacy within our movement and within our sort of community, wherever we are. It's not like we let everybody into our private rooms, how Sachinanda Maharaj would say, just would describe it like we have a courtyard, we have a dining room, we have different levels of intimacy in our personality, so we kind of find a place for each person.
That's the principle of art also. And Gauravendra Prabhu, if you don't know, is an artist, he's a photographer, and an artist photographer. So in art, you can make things which are popular with thousands of people. And that's nice, you'll have a good feeling. Many people got to see pictures of Braj or something, they appreciated that. But there's some other pictures you'd like to have which are a little more private. And not everybody's going to understand it. And some people might even look at it and say, "That's weird." I can't appreciate that. But persons who are antaranga, who are closer with you, they can understand and appreciate. So we need both. For to be satisfied in our art, to be satisfied in our dealings, we want to reach out to many people, but we also have to have something close to our heart. Otherwise, we won't be satisfied. If you just do bubblegum stuff. But would you have something?
What I noticed in practice that some devotees may discriminate too much. Especially in smaller communities, if they do that, nothing is going to happen.
Yeah, that's
really
going to
communicate.
Discrimination has to be there. And so my discrimination is, if you're going to discriminate so much, my discrimination is I don't want to be around you. We should also discriminate like that. And some people who are like-minded, who are really into all those nitty, all those rules and regulations, and that's great. Then they should associate together. It's important.
Can I just make one comment? Because I think, just to relate to the question that was asked by Nityananda, and I just wanted to see what your thoughts were, is that even if in our neophyte stage or in our beginner stage we have some envy, the fact that we're chanting and we're taking to the process and we're hearing, it will also destroy that envy anyway in time. So there will always be some devotees that we can associate with who, and Lashi Sufanko is a really wonderful point, especially those who love us and have responsibility for us, they'll always be there to kind of reach out to us and help us. And as we become more purified, it actually potentially means that there's even a greater degree of intimacy that we can have with those devotees. And we can have that with more, because we're now more in the mentality of being the servant of the servant. So,
this is the point, one of the main points of this verse in purport. Prabhupada stressing istagosti, bodhiyanta parasparam. He's stressing devotees should come and discuss. It's not just, you know, that you should come and hear my lecture, and I'm the big person or something. That's not community. That may be blind following. But we want to come together and express our doubts, express our happiness, our, or ecstasies. I really liked that kirtan last night. I like this guitar. And share those things so that we can progress together as a community. And when that paraspara comes up, another thing happens. Sometimes we may have doubts about somebody. We see they have a weird tattoo, or we see, you know, they're I saw them watching television one day, or this or that, I don't know what it is. But like he's saying, in some communities they have so many rules. But when we have paraspara, then we hear the person's heart and they say, yeah, you know, I'm really attached to television, but I'm trying to give it up. And then your heart goes out to that person. Oh, they're not duplicitous, they just have an attachment. And they know it's not the best thing. Then we can give up our envy. It's important to advance it together as a community. There has to be communication, practically on a daily basis. We have a small ashram in Puri, and every day, twice a day, we were having little like meetings. 5 minutes in the morning, we call the Seva Mandala, and the devotees would go around in a circle. Today, I'm going to work on the accounts. Today, I'm going to paint the bathroom. Today, I'm going to... Each devotee, what they're going to do. And at the end of the day, we come together, what was good, what was bad. And you speak about it, and you learn to love each other and appreciate. You have something, Manji?
Yeah. I often saw in our communities that people that take responsibility, then they become over-stressed with service.
They become overstressed.
Yeah.
Overstressed?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like with service.
Overburdened, right.
But the same service allowed you to serve devotees and directly and indirectly making other devotees that come to visit the community. But this service cut time for sometimes Krishna Katha or communication or even kirtan. So...
Yeah, we have... what is our first service? Prabhupada said your first service... You said your first service is take care of your health. And your second thing is chanting your 64 rounds. And your third thing is doing your services. So as a community, it's so important that we come together and we communicate, we talk.
No, you said 64 rounds.
Correct.
16.
I just picked up on the fact that you said chanting your 64 rounds.
Oh, your 64 rounds. Everybody here is chanting 64. Some people can see it, some people can't see it, but they're all chanting 64. But when there's communication and there's enough trust that we can say, look, I'm really sorry, I'm burned out. I just can't do anymore. You know, I've done what I can and I just need a break. I need somebody else to step forward or we're just not going to have anybody doing that. That's required to have that kind of trust amongst each other. Mm-hmm. And we realize we have a joint responsibility. Mm-hmm. We have a joint responsibility as a community. In a marriage, it's a joint responsibility. Both partners. It's not just the wife's responsibility to be nice to the husband and the marriage is going to be good. The husband also has responsibility. Everybody in a community has a responsibility. And we should see that if I see a problem, to quote Gandhi, be the solution for the problem that we see. If we see some problem going on, then I should be the solution for that. And we should be able to communicate and be honest if something's too much for me. Thank you.
I would just like to add on that it's important to keep in mind that some people have very high capacities of doing service and others they might want to, but they might have a lower capacity of doing service. And it reminded me of the story of Lord Ramachandra that he appreciated the squirrel who was flicking dust to build the bridge as much as the monkeys in Hanuman who were carrying entire mountains. So just to keep that in mind.
Prabhupada said that our communities, we should have devotees who are chanting 16 rounds in that. And then he said, but also some people can be there who are not even vegetarian. And they can be part of our community. If they're sincere, and maybe the guy, he's had a hard time following principles and whatever, but he's a really good carpenter. He's a really good worker, and he loves the devotees, and he never criticizes anything. He can be part of the community, and we should appreciate that, whatever offering they can make. Of course, we shouldn't be lazy. We should all endeavor to the best that we can, but we should accept that not everybody can do everything. We just burn out so many devotees. And it's time to ask for Krishna Kund for her comment.
It was just a quick reflection on what Ananda Manjari said. I really appreciated it, because sometimes we also have the tendency to think that devotional service is running around doing everything. Yeah. And maybe sometimes some devotees have more capacity sitting in one place and thinking it through before they do their 5-minute service, but all their consciousness goes into it, and they were taking, 2 days to think about Krishna before they did that 5 minutes.
Prabhupada told a story once. When they were building the Taj Mahal, there was one worker who was mixing plaster. And he was really mixing his plaster, and really, really. And the foreman, the guy who was overseeing all the workers, saw the guy was spending hours and hours. And finally he came and said, "What are you doing, man? You've been working hours and hours just mixing that plaster." And that workman became angry with him and threw the plaster at him. And it hit the wall. And it's still there today in the Taj Mahal, because that plaster was mixed so well. It was so first class what he had done. So our work should be with such concentration like that, and we may not be able to do so much. I'd like to finish it, but I'd just like to make a comment, if I can. It's a little shameless, everybody. It's not actually anything to do with me. But do devotees appreciate this program this morning?
Yes.
What do we appreciate about it? What we appreciate about it is when we have some Krishna Katha, and then there's some Paraspara. There's some back and forth amongst the devotees. So if anybody keeps anything from this humble presentation this morning, I hope you keep that. That regularly we should come together with whatever little group of devotees we have, read something and discuss back and forth on a regular basis in a very honest way. And that'll build community, that'll build our society. So we'll stop there. Grandhara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ju ki
jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Samaveda Bhakta Binda ki jai.